Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. This is the word of the Lord. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. This is the word of the Lord. In the parable of the nobleman, Jesus reveals to us that contrary to what the people supposed, the kingdom of God was not to appear immediately upon his entrance into Jerusalem. And in the parable of the nobleman, Jesus also reveals to us that contrary to what his disciples supposed, the kingdom of God was not to appear immediately after his resurrection from the dead. In the parable, the nobleman is Jesus. is going into a far country to receive a kingdom. Is his ascension into heaven to receive from the Father the kingdom of God. The servants of the noblemen are the church, and the citizens who hated him are the world. And the return of the noblemen is the return of Christ at the end of the age, when he will come again, and when the kingdom of God will at last appear. And the kingdom of God will appear with him. In the parable of the nobleman, Jesus gives us an outline of history, telling beforehand of the delay that would occur between his ascension into heaven and his coming again from heaven. It is a period of time in which you are now living. You now live between the ages. You live in that period of time that began with Christ's ascension into heaven, and that will end with his return on the last day. Now we have before considered the various ways in which this was in fulfillment of the scriptures. And last Lord's Day we began to consider not only the necessity of Christ's going into heaven to receive a kingdom, but also of what he left his servants to do until his return. In his departure, the nobleman gives gifts to his servants. He entrusts them each with a deposit, calling 10 of his servants, he gives to each of them a mina, or a pound. And we noted that this was not an extraordinary amount of money. In fact, the Lord describes it as a very little. But nevertheless, even with that very little, he calls his servants to be about his business until he comes again. And so it is that the church is to be about the business of the Lord until he comes again. And for this, he has given gifts to the church. He has entrusted the church with a deposit. In Ephesians chapter 4, what does Paul tell us that Jesus did in his ascension into heaven? That he gave gifts to men. That in his ascension into heaven, Christ gave gifts to his church, that the church might be about his business until the end when he comes again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to the church. But what were they? What were the gifts that the ascending Christ gave to his church? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The gifts that the ascended Christ has given to his church, those gifts are for the building up of his church in this world until its end, for the building up of the church until he comes again. And in the context of the parable, with very little being given to each, it helps us to understand what each member of the church is called to as we await the return of our Lord. The church as a whole and all of its members are called to faithful service. You are not called to be an extraordinary saint. You are called to be a faithful servant. The body of Christ is one body with many members, and the members do not all have the same function. But each one has gifts that differ according to the grace that has been given. And whatever you have been given, however much you have been given, you are called to use it in the service of your Lord. You are called to use it in the service of Christ. And with it, you are called to be about His business until He comes again. While the nobleman has gone into a far country to receive a kingdom, his servants are to be about his business until his return. And so while Christ has ascended into heaven to receive a kingdom, the church is called to be about his business until he comes again. Now this evening, we want to consider what happens when he comes again, and the various responses that we hear from the nobleman concerning his servants, and also concerning his enemies. In verse 15, we read that when the nobleman returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered his servants to be called to him, that he might know what they had done with the deposit that had been entrusted to them. And if the return of the nobleman is the return of Christ, then his calling his servants into his presence to give an account of what they had done, what is this but the judgment of Christ? For that is why Christ comes again, to judge the living and the dead. A judgment that includes not only unbelievers, but all mankind, believer and unbeliever alike. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And as judgment begins with the household of God, so also in the parable, judgment begins with the servants of the Lord. The nobleman calls his servants to him to know what they had done in his absence, to know what they had done with the deposit entrusted to them. And we read of three of those servants. The first and the second of which are commended, and the third which is not. But the first and the second servants, they are commended. The first comes before his Lord saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And the second, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. Now notice what both servants say. They acknowledge that the mina was not their own, but the Lord's. They acknowledge that whatever they had had been given to them. And furthermore, they do not take credit for the results of their service, but rather they give credit to the gift that had been given to them, and thus they give credit to their Lord who had given that gift to them. Your mina has made 10 minas more. Your mina has made 5 minas. They do not give glory to themselves, but rather they give glory to the Lord. They give glory to what the Lord has done through them. These are the servants who are commended. These are the servants who are commended for faithful service. Well done, good servant. And to the first, the Lord says, because you have been faithful in the very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And to the second, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 5 cities. What is the nobleman doing here? What is he doing in giving to his servants authority over cities? He is giving them a share of the kingdom which he has received. He is giving them a share in the kingdom with which he has come. He is giving them a portion of his inheritance. He is giving them a place in his kingdom. And notice how gracious is this reward. The reward is far greater than what their service deserves. In fact, their service deserves nothing. For they are servants, and they have only done what was required of them. And yet see what the Lord gives them. A place in his kingdom. With positions of authority. And yet we cannot help but notice a distinction that is made between the two servants. There is a distinction, is there not? One is given more than the other. The one with 10 minas is given authority over 10 cities. And the one with 5 minas is given authority over 5 cities. And so we might wonder whether the inheritance of Christ given to his people by his grace might be distributed in different portions to the different members of his church, to the different heirs of his kingdom. And in Luke chapter 22, verse 28, Jesus will speak to the 12 apostles. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There it would certainly seem that there will be differing measures of authority in the kingdom of God. But what that will look like, I cannot say, and I do not know. But I can assure you of this, that everyone who is united to Christ is an heir with Christ and is an heir of Christ. And so there is no point in worrying about how much you will receive. For the one who inherits Christ inherits everything. For the one who inherits Christ inherits God. And what is greater than the inheritance of him? And there is no point in worrying about the results of your service. For the results are not your own doing. It is the Lord who gives the growth. He does not call you to give the growth, for you cannot. You are not called to be concerned with the results of your service, but rather you are to be focused instead on using the deposit that has been entrusted to you, upon using the gifts that have been given to you in service to your Lord, striving to be His faithful servant, knowing that He will give you His kingdom, and that when He does, He will say of you, "Well done, good servant." When He says this, it will be a testimony to His faithfulness in you, to the praise of His glory, to the praise of His grace. But take heed. He will not say, "Well done, good servant," to everyone in the church. He will not say, "Well done, good servant," to all who were called as His servants. For there are some in the church who do not truly belong to the church. Who are members of the church outwardly, but who are not united to Christ inwardly. Who have the name of Christ upon their lips, but whose hearts are far from Him. Who take the deposit given to them and do nothing with it at all. But who rather bury it and deny that it truly belongs to Him at all. What will the Lord say to such a one? What will the Lord say to such a servant? Will He say, "Well done, good servant"? No, but rather, "I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant." And what has been given to him will be taken away. That one will not inherit the kingdom of God. He will have no portion with Christ in the kingdom of God. So here is a call to self-examination. To work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To make your calling and election sure. To take heed, lest you fall. And how important is this? There is nothing more important than this. For what is the consequence for those who are outside of Christ? What is the consequence for those who have rejected Christ? Who have refused the kingship of Christ? What is the consequence of those who do not believe in Him? Of those who refuse to serve Him? Verse 27. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. At the end of the age, the enemies of Christ will be slaughtered before Him. There are some who say that there is a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament, and that the God of the Old Testament is a God of hate, but that the God of the New Testament is a God of love. But there is one God, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And He is a God of love. And He is a God of justice. And so this judgment of Christ, it will be just. But it will also be severe. What then shall we say to these things? Look to Him in faith. And to serve Him with joy. Knowing that it is His pleasure to give you His kingdom. You then have faith in Him. And may you in faith serve Him. May you serve Him until the end. Amen. Let us pray.